Warning. This is a comedy podcast that provides an irreverent, sarcastic, less than serious look at events described in the Bible. It contains profanity and explicit content and may not be suitable for children under 14. Listener discretion and a sense of humor strongly advised.
In a world where the Holy Bible is actually a streaming television show with a gigantic special effects budget, two people boldly watch and review every episode. Join these scripture script doctors as they discuss all the on-screen drama and off-screen hijinks of this fictional hit series.
Hey listeners, it's Deanna with some exciting news. We have launched a Patreon. Visit us at patreon.com/wrathofpod to get access to exclusive content and ad-free listening. We're really excited about what's coming up this season, and you don't want to miss what we've got planned. Join us at patreon.com/wrathofpod to support the show. Thanks.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Wrath of Pod. My name is Marcus.
And my name is Deanna. And before we get into anything at all about the Holy Bible show, I have an apology to you, Marcus.
Okay.
So in our season wrap-up episode from season 4, I was making fun of you a little bit for saying that Skittles are involved in bowling because Skittles are clearly a candy. And I have since learned that that is not the only meaning of the word Skittles, that actually Skittles are a type of bowling pin, I believe, if I was reading the Wikipedia page correctly. So I am here issuing a public apology to you and to Skittles lovers everywhere who are thinking of bowling and not candy. I hope we can patch this up and still be friends and move forward with our podcast.
I accept your apology, and I will take remuneration in the form of Skittles, either of the pin variety or much more easily the candy variety.
Yeah, I feel like the candy might be a little bit easier to package up and mail to you, but we'll see.
Since we're talking about British words, or sweets, as we would call them.
Yes, that's true. And definitely I can send you crisps, but not chips that would not arrive in good shape.
Yeah, please. After. Please don't send chips.
Yeah, well, I just don't want to know what those are going to look like after having been mashed by our mail system.
Yes, right. Becomes mashed potato of sorts. Yeah.
Oh, that's gross. Is that what HP sauce is, right? That's like you just take it and you pulp it up with a bunch of cardboard packing material and it turns kind of brownish.
Probably. I don't like HP sauce, so I'm going to say yes, that's exactly how it's made. Great.
Oh my gosh, they're going to revoke your citizenship. You don't like HP sauce.
They might do that. I do still put vinegar on my chips, so that gives me some credit back, I think.
Good to know. So I'm glad I've gotten that off my chest, and we need to talk about this new season that we're here to review. I think the very first thing I want to ask is, what is a Deuteronomy? What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe we'll discover it later, but it is a hell of a move to announce the name of your season to be a completely kind of made up word. Yeah. I mean, it has onomy at the end, like astronomy, which makes me think the study of, but that doesn't help because I don't know what deuters are.
Yeah, I kept going dude, like it's the study of dudes or like the dude. I feel like they're trying to pull in some Lebowski connection here. Maybe they got the Coen brothers on the phone.
I'm the dude, so that's what you call me, you know? His dudeness or duder or, you know, El Deuterino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
I don't know.
See that, if you say it with a certain accent, like, dude, Deuteronomy, man, Deuteronomy, dudes. The study of being a dude, Deuteronomy. Oh,
that went full Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
There you go. That was 10 out of 10, Bill and Ted.
Excellent.
That's what I
was picturing. And how many times did you misspell it in your notes? Because it's got constantly. A U in there, and I just forget it. I can't do it. Season 5:D.
or the study of dudes.
The study of dudes. That's what we're going with for right now. The only other association that I have with Deuteronomy is that it's one of the cats from the musical Cats.
Oh, you're right.
So musical theater nerds out there probably also had that song stuck in their head, which I did as soon as the word came on screen at the opening credit. So I don't know. Are we doing some kind of like Andrew Lloyd Webber, T.S. Eliot crossover? Are they signaling that we're going to have more musical numbers? Or perhaps more Cats?
Yeah, or are they signaling that they're going to take that horrible CGI decision that was made for
oh,
Cats?
No. Oh, no, you mean for the movie. Oh,
yes.
Shit. Oh, please don't coming? Do that.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine that applied to camels and things like that?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that is clearly the sequel. We had Cats, and now we're going to have camels.
Right.
It's going to be a lot of singing, dancing, camels wearing very tight spandex, and Judi Dench is going to be there for some reason.
With the CGI, you know, you're wearing green leotard and spots all over you.
Sure.
With weird prosthetics and all kinds of stuff fluffed on their heads.
The role she's been waiting for, a camel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Judi Dench the camel.
Exactly. As you've never seen her before.
Yeah.
I mean, what else are you going to do after you win an Oscar? Obviously, you do James Bond and then you play a camel. Classic Hollywood story. Everybody knows this.
Yeah, you have no more shits to give. Once you've got the Oscar, you can just go to town.
And that's how you get cast in Cats, is when you have no more shits to give. Your agent is like, true. How about this? You're like, whatever, sure, I'll do that.
Yeah. And yeah. How many zeros? Okay, I'll do it.
Right. It's all that matters anymore. Judi Dench is all about the Benjamins, is what mm-hmm. we have discovered here.
Maybe this conversation is exactly what they're hoping for. Mm-hmm. The people will be like, what's this about? And no one really knows. People start having theories and so forth. So maybe that's what they're looking for. They're trying to sort of sow uncertainty with the idea that people are just going to be talking about it mm-hmm. for this exact reason.
Yeah, that must be it. All publicity is good publicity.
Right.
So even if people don't know what the hell you're talking about, they're still talking.
Exactly.
And that is, in fact, what we are here to do, is talk about season 5, episode 1 of The Holy Bible.
Amen. So we open on Moses, and as the camera pans around, we see that there's a kind of a gathering here. Effectively, as we've said in past episodes, we've had a situation where Moses has been told that his time has come, that he is going to have to walk up to the top of the mountain and die, basically. Mm-hmm. And so he knows this, and he's known this for a while now. It's not everyone who gets to arrange their own funeral. And this is kind of the approach that Moses has taken, more of a retirement party of sorts. I guess you do get to have some say in that. And he's taking the time to review for everyone various things that have happened, with a bit of a focus on his accomplishments, but nonetheless, things that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what he does for most of the episode, is him tell it from his perspective about mm-hmm. things.
Yeah, it was good to see all of our characters dressed up for the party. So they got a little change of costume. We're not away from our traditional brown. There's still a lot of brown and mustard and ochre and burnt sienna and everybody's favorite shades in the costume department, but there were a couple more sashes and some nice jewelry there on our characters, and so everybody looked like they were ready to mix and mingle under that big happy retirement Moses banner that they had hanging between those palm trees, with retirement being the world's biggest euphemism in this case.
Yes, retired from life right now, yeah. Is Moses.
Perhaps it would be better if Mr. Harrison were taken out of the picture.
Sorry, guys, you're doing it again.
What, Alan?
Have him removed. Take him out of the picture. I thought we agreed at the meeting that these terms are needlessly ambiguous.
We do have a lot of euphemisms for death, though, you can say. Like, mm-hmm. happy kicked the bucket, Moses. Happy
yep.
blow out your porch light, Moses. Retirement sounds like he's about to get got by some mob boss or something like that.
Yes, someone's been told to retire him, mm-hmm. has a very certain meaning behind it.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you just go pay him a visit. You know, you just go mm-hmm. and you see what's going on there. And you make sure that he knows it's his time to retire. Okay, leave the gun, take the cannoli.
So Moses is looking back and he's reminiscing and he's recalling about how there was a lot of complaining. People were coming to him constantly.
I would just like to add a complaint about shows which have too many complaints in them, as they get very tedious for the average viewer.
This is the theme of last season. But it was so much that he had to appoint other leaders. I could see there was a bit of resentment in his voice when he was like, there were so many complaints that mm-hmm. I had to actually employ other people to handle all of the complaints.
Yep.
Very pointed remarks there by Moses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a fairly insulting going away speech,
yes.
Right? Remember that time you all complained and we got banished for 40 extra years? You remember that? Mm-hmm. I could have retired young. I could have been a nice young guy with a long retirement ahead of me. But no, you assholes had to complain about everything. And now here we are. And everybody in the back with a Hebrew Complaint Brigade badge that they had pinned onto their lapels, like quietly trying to remove it. At this right. part of Moses' speech.
So Moses then retells the story about how they stopped at the mountains of the Amorites and sent those spies out to Canaan. And the spies had gone to Canaan and they brought back all this giant fruit and...
Taste the rainbow, motherfucker!
Yeah, right, there you go.
I'm just going to keep saying that. It's going to keep being funny.
Yeah, and they brought all this giant food back. And God was obviously saying this whole time, it's fine, you guys are going to go to Canaan, it's going to be all good. But the Israelites refused to go. Actually, the reason for that, if I remember correctly, was that there was some really tall people there, basically. Yeah. And that was off-putting. And basically, almost everyone said, no way, we're not going to go. It's too much. We're not going to be able to take them. And Caleb and Joshua, the spies, were those who said, no, we've got them. We can do it anyway. And so God said, because they had really no faith whatsoever that they were going to be able to get to Canaan, God said that none of this generation, the current generation, mm-hmm. are going to get to see it, except for Caleb and Joshua.
And this happens a couple of times through this episode, is that it looks like we're just repeating things, but we're repeating with a little bit of a difference. And the difference here is Caleb is named first. Usually it's Joshua and Caleb, because Joshua ends up being appointed the leader after Moses. He's sitting there with his feet on the table, really looking like big man on campus during this retirement speech that Moses is giving. But Caleb's ears perk up here because Moses mentions him first. So I think we're foreshadowing some kind of rivalry between them, or maybe a hint that as things have been going forward with training Joshua as the next leader, Moses might have switched his allegiance. He might regret that it's Joshua and prefer it to be Caleb, who seems a little bit more level-headed and less egotistical, let's say, than Joshua is.
He did put a lot more emphasis on Caleb. He said, none of the generation can see, except for Caleb and Joshua. And then he moved on. So, mm-hmm. yes, I did notice that he was putting Joshua down indirectly, very kind of in a fairly petty way.
I think he was just trying to see whether Joshua was paying attention at that point. He was kind of mm-hmm. signing autographs for a bunch of young female admirers. And
right.
Checking out his reflection in a polished silver goblet in front of him. So Moses was trying to catch him out.
Yeah, he very much sort of sitting on the fact that he's going to be the next big man. He's taking it for granted is what I'm trying
yes.
to say.
And we're saying that maybe he shouldn't be. So right. I'll put some bets in for maybe a struggle for power after Moses's death coming at some point during season 5.
Now Moses has a bit of a rewrite of history because he says that this is why God was angry with him, because of all these people not believing that they're going to be able to go to Canaan. Mm-hmm. And because of that, that Moses, as the boss of sorts, the leader, was held responsible for this. I remember this a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. I remember it related to the rock and how yeah. God told him to speak to the rock, but instead he hit the rock. And that was the big taboo that caused a split between Moses and God. But Moses is sort of doing a little papering over of that and instead is saying his theory that it was actually because of what everyone else was doing, doubting that they could get to Canaan.
Yeah. Are we retconning the rock thing?
I don't know if it's like a unreliable narrator scenario where the show itself may not be retconning it, but Moses himself certainly is trying to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you could also square the circle by saying that maybe this is true, right? God actually was angry at Moses over not keeping the people in line and getting them to go to Canaan in an orderly fashion. And then later on, the rock thing's like the straw that broke the camel's back, right? That like this was this like simmering resentment, but like this was the start of it. We only saw the end of it in season four, but this is where the real rift started to happen in the relationship between Moses and God. So I don't want to go back and re-rewatch season four because I just did that for the season review that we just put out, but maybe we need to start looking at some of those clues and seeing if maybe season five is going to clarify some of the material that we didn't understand in season four.
Interesting. Yeah. And so now, after seeing that God is super angry with them and that that resulted in them not seeing the land, suddenly people had a bit of courage, surprising, saying, oh, well, actually, maybe we can take them after all. But God wasn't behind them. And Moses was explaining how they got defeated and they were pretty upset about this, but God was having none of it because they had their chance basically to have their courage and to show their bravery. And it was only under threat of punishment that they actually went in, and because they didn't have God's backing, they got their asses whooped.
Yep. They blew it. Oh. And the best part about this scene is the bunch of poorly rehearsed school children who were acting this out behind Moses. This was definitely a moment where they got Miss Stevens' third grade class together and they had a little argument about who was going to play Moses and who was going to play God and who was going to attack the Amorites and all that kind of thing. So there was a little drama happening to illustrate Moses's words. It was exactly as ridiculous as you think it might be. And I appreciate that. I appreciate those little moments of levity that this show throws in, because otherwise it's basically Moses talking to camera the entire time.
Yeah, yeah, it was nice that they did this sort of interpretive little dance at one point. And yeah, I agree with you. You can't just have someone talking to camera completely. So at least they do have that nice little diversion.
Yeah, bunch of kids and their cardboard swords and their poorly fitting costumes. Right. Anybody out there who's had to sit through one of these things knows exactly what I'm talking about. As dessert is being served at this retirement party gathering, Moses then talks about this time they had to pass through a bunch of other territory on their 40-year walk to finally get to Canaan. So they had to pass through territory that belongs to the descendants of Esau, and they also passed through Moab, which is also not part of their inheritance. This whole thing was so strange. This is a really weird storytelling technique. This is like the last season on package as episode, but not, right? There are some weird differences. Again, I just rewatched season four. I don't remember seeing scenes where we went through territory for the descendants of Esau, right? We went through a land with a lot of red, hairy people. Did I miss this?
Alma wants to see more families, all kinds. But where can Alma find them?
I don't remember this.
Okay,
so
not just me.
Was this off screen?
I guess. So it's sort of a clip show, but sort of not. It's like stuff that happened during the events of season four, but that we didn't actually see in season four. They're really trying to keep us guessing here.
I wondered if they wanted to drop in the names, the name checks of various people. So, you know, every show wants to make their money back through a whole bunch of different ways, including through merch. And I wonder if they're going to release an Esau action figure, that this is going to be something that comes out and... You know, if you want to sell those, you've got to remind people of the different characters. Yeah. So I wonder if they're trying to keep some of those classic characters from way back when alive.
You know what it is? It's a Tickle Me Esau. That's what it is. I've got it. Done. No notes.
Nice.
Or they are completely out of budget and they're using a bunch of material that they shot from season four to fill in episode one of season five. And we are fucked for the rest of this season.
It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help, and you want to be there. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care. Or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour. Plus, access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's-level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code LISTEN20 for 20% off your initial Care.com subscription. That's LISTEN20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
After that, Moses reminds everyone that they spent the bulk of their journey, so 38 out of the 40 years in this area, between Kadesh Barnea to the Valley of the Zered, and they're passing through a land called Ar that is also not part of their inheritance because it belongs to the descendants of Lot. So I think this goes to your theory, Marcus. We are definitely name-checking a lot of these characters from earlier seasons. So maybe they're trying to remind us of the merch that they already put out that they're trying to sell off so that they don't have all of that remaindered. Why Lot, though? Descendants of Lot would be descendants of incest.
Yeah, you're right. So we know that that was successful, though. We do know that he had kids with his daughters.
Right, and they became part of the Moabites who we met earlier. So I'm not sure why Moses is so keen to remind us of that fact, but there we are. We've got that wonderful image of that terrible porno of Danny DeVito and those two much younger actresses. And I didn't need that in my clip show. Thanks, yeah. I'm good.
You guys all think I'm a hero, and I'll accept that responsibility.
I guess if you've paid for Danny DeVito and you've got the ability to just show his face on screen again as a kind of a clip, then you're going to take it. And at the time, there was a bit of controversy around it. So they're probably, again, like not too worried about bringing that back up because it's going to remind people that the show is a bit risque at times.
Yeah. And we haven't had a lot of sex lately. So maybe they need to bring in some of those old clips that have the sex in addition to all of the violence that we got in season four.
Yes.
This show is nothing if not courting all of that controversy. It's very out there in a lot of ways. And Moses reminds everybody that God then encouraged the Israelites to go to war with the Amorites and gives a little bit of backstory on this, again, using some clips from last season. Cool battle scene clips, though, so it was good to see these again. Moses says that God sent messengers to ask, pretty please, if the Israelites could pass through this land as they did through these other lands that we've mentioned. But God apparently hardened the heart of the king of the Amorites, and the king refused to let them through. So we're circling back to a technique that God had used in Egypt to kind of have his cake and eat it too. Look like he's asking nicely, but then actually making sure that he gets his way and that the Israelites have an excuse for an attack. And this was a hell of an attack. The Israelites fought all of these people and completely destroyed them and took all of their livestock and plunder from their cities. And the way that Moses is reminiscing here, right? Do you guys remember that time we defeated Sihon? The army just keeps getting bigger every time he tells the story. Yeah, Gramps, okay. We know about the war.
He's also drinking as this whole funeral retirement party is happening. Mm-hmm. So as it's going on, his explanations are getting more and more slurred and more exaggerated, yes.
Yep. Yeah, and he keeps giving all the different names that these different groups were known by and what they were called back in his day. And he's really kind of getting sloppy by the end of this episode.
Right.
Sloppy, but not dead. Oddly enough,
true.
Still not dead.
I'm not dead.
What? Nothing. Here's your nine puts.
I'm not dead.
There. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not.
He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
How many episodes is it now that God has threatened to kill him? And he's still going. Energizer Bunny Moses.
And maybe this is, again, part of that technique where God's like, all right, maybe it's time for that mountain walk. And then he's like, whoa, 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 I haven't had my retirement party. Mm-hmm. Then he has a retirement party right. And that's done. And he's like, whoa, 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 I haven't passed on all this information. And right. He does that. And then that goes on for a while. And he's like, second retirement party, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I need to make sure I annotate the user manual for the radio station mm-hmm. and gotta organize that sock drawer. You cannot leave this world with that sock drawer not being entirely right. in order. Everyone knows this.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
What are you doing before you die? If you're like, God's coming to you and gonna walk you up the mountain tomorrow, what are Oof. You throwing in God's way to try to buy yourself some more time?
Oh boy, what am I throwing in God's way? That's a good question. I could say I have to check the safety of every roller coaster in the country. I feel like it's my duty to do yes. that. That's nice because then I've given myself a pass to kind of go to a number of different fairs and theme parks, as well as it seeming like something that you can't really argue against roller right? coaster safety. That's so true. I feel like that would be one way of going about it.
That sounds important. We definitely need to check to make sure that all of those roller coasters mm-hmm. are safe. Are you doing that experientially? You're going to ride all of the roller coasters to check?
yeah, of course.
All right.
Several times sometimes mm-hmm. to make doubly sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to keep checking. And then you got to mm-hmm. get the funnel cake mm-hmm. and the popcorn.
Yes.
Right. And then you vomit it all up on the log flume.
Yeah, you're checking for poisoning in the food as well as the sure. actual safety of the coasters.
Got to do it.
Well, what would you be doing to prolong your life?
I would be inspecting the lambs. As we previously established, there are several hundred thousand lambs. And if you're going to sacrifice an animal, it's got to be without blemish. This has been established.
Right.
And so you got to just keep checking. I have to make sure that they're up to snuff. And what's brilliant about that is that lambs keep being born. So this job is never going to end.
Yeah, that's good. And that can apply at any stage of life. I was assuming God was coming to me now, like right mm-hmm. now in, you know, in this century. But of course, theme parks, we haven't seen many theme parks in the show. So mm-hmm. I don't know that status. But lambs, they last a long time. So mm-hmm. good point.
God's theme park definitely has a whole room full of firemen's poles.
Yes. And Moses recalls now the battle they had with Og, who was king of Bashan, who they defeated. And really, he's just kind of going through the big hits, the greatest hits right now. Mm-hmm. So he's talking about how they fought and won against Og. They fought and won against the two kings of the Amorites. And there is an interesting little note there that Moses seems fixated on, because he mentions that not only was Og the descendant of the giants, okay, I can see why that might be relevant, but also that he said I had a giant iron bedstead. Mm-hmm. What? Yeah. That was an interesting little factoid to drop in.
You read the Bible, Ringo?
Not regularly, no.
Well, there's this passage I got memorized.
Deuteronomy 3:11. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Indeed, his bedstead was an iron bedstead. Is it not in Rabbah of the people of Ammon? 9 cubits is its length, and 4 cubits its width, according to the standard cubit.
I never gave much thought to what it meant. I just thought it was some cold-blooded shit to say to a motherfucker before I popped a cap in his ass.
Exactly. That's one of those, like, record scratch, music stops, everybody at the party, including Joshua, who is now paying attention, starts staring at Moses when he drops this tea about Og's bed.
Yeah.
How does Moses know what Og's bed looks like? I think we are right. discovering the real reason that God's about to go take Moses up a mountain and do a full errand on him is a little bit of jealousy here.
Yeah, can you imagine if you're talking to someone and they're just like reminiscing about various things and then, mm-hmm. oh yeah, we went here. And then they said like, oh, and do you remember that bed that they had? You'd be like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, not something you tend to drop in casual conversation. And he just keeps going on about it. This sounds like, it's not a California king. It's an Alaska king. You can get an even bigger
bed. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, I don't even know where you get sheets for that kind of thing, right? There's a king and there's a California king and there's an Alaska king. And apparently now there's an Og king sized bed.
That has to be iron. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that's for the handcuffs.
You gotta make
sure that they attach nice and firmly there in the four posters.
Right. That makes sense.
And it also makes sense of why you need the Augie chant, right? You got a bed that big. You need to find them in it. Yeah. They're just like swimming through these like mountains of pillows. It's like Marco Polo to try to get to the person you're supposed to be sleeping with in this bed. You gotta go, Augie, Augie, Augie. And you listen for the echo.
Nice. That brings it right back. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in fairness, if that was the situation, it was so big that you had to do a chant to find the other person, that would be worthy of note, in fairness. Yes.
But this just blows everything open. Like, why is Moses in Og's bedroom in the first place while everybody else is out fighting a battle against his people? How does this happen? Was this part of, like, a diplomatic negotiation? We didn't get to see any of this. We just get this note about what the bed looks like. Maybe this is politics makes strange bedfellows, taken very, very literally.
Oh, yeah, could be. Maybe it was started out as negotiations for surrender and went to a completely different direction.
Oh, I think it was negotiations of some sort for surrender of some sort. But
favors were given.
Yeah. Received. Yeah. Diplomacy was happening over there.
And are there places where they're like, I have to have a giant iron bedstead? I mean, they've got to spend those billions of dollars on something, I guess, as well as jets. Maybe they're going for giant iron bedsteads.
Iron is, it's a lot.
It's heavy, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of a Game of Thrones feel. I'm picturing like little spiky bits coming off it.
Mm-hmm.
You can have an iron throne and then it goes with your iron bed, and maybe you can have an iron bureau or something else. Get the whole set.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not selling that shit at IKEA, I can tell you that. You've got to go to an actual furniture store.
Yeah, that's too, what's the word? Too.
Sturdy.
Sturdy, yeah. Robust.
Right.
For IKEA.
Way too robust for IKEA. May not, in fact, fall apart when you try to move it to your next apartment.
And of that land from Og and those two kings of the Amorites, all of that land was given to tribes of Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh. And Moses is basically at this point just pointing in different directions, giving the borders of the areas. Mm-hmm. Kind of like how, you know, at Thanksgiving or something, some of the older people are like, oh yeah, you turn left at this store and then you take a right. And you're like, I know, I'll just put it in the GPS, put it in Google Maps.
Right.
I do not need to know this. But they insist on telling you nonetheless all of the ways and how it was near the old supermarket. And then you take a right near this.
Yes.
And you're like, this is so irrelevant.
That supermarket's not there anymore. That got bought by a different chain. And then there was a gas station. It used to be on that corner, had very good prices. But then it got taken over by a GameStop. Yeah, Moses was channeling a bit of God here as he was going through all of the details of exactly where the borders of this land were. And everybody's eyes glazed over again and went back to their somewhat tasteless supermarket cake that they were serving en masse at this retirement party.
And Moses also uses this opportunity to remind them of this deal that he had come to with the tribes, where the tribes had originally said, hey, we've got our land, we're pretty happy with this, we don't really want to get involved in this whole Canaan thing. And then the deal was done where, well, you can leave your families and your livestock behind safe in the land that you've got, but you still have to actually come and fight with everyone else. And that was kind of the agreement that they came to make sure that they still had a good, literally a fighting chance in Canaan.
Seems fair, actually, of all of the weird, obscure rules and sacrifices and thou shalt nots that we've had. And like, this one seemed reasonable. So we'll give him a pass for that.
That's true. That did seem reasonable. And Moses reports something next and toward the end of the episode that I never saw, never heard previously. Mm-hmm. But he says that he told Joshua that the Israelites will definitely defeat all the people of Canaan because God himself will fight for him. I don't remember that. Is this?
Nope.
Okay, so this is indeed new material that Moses is introducing.
And I don't think God remembered that either. That was a great little cut back and forth between their faces. I think Moses is pimping God into this at this moment because God was at this retirement party. He's also kind of stretched out in the back, helping himself to the best from the buffet. And this caught him a little bit by surprise when everybody turned to look at him as Moses announced that God himself will fight for the Israelites in Canaan.
Yeah, and it didn't help God's cause that at the time he was wearing his wrestling belt as well, his right. championship wrestling belt. Mm-hmm. That probably cued Moses in. Plus, at this point, Moses was like four brandies deep. So
at least.
Yeah, at least. So that would have given him courage to bring God into the mix.
Mm-hmm. But in fairness to God, who loves a crowd and loves the applause, he took a moment to collect himself and then magically changed into some super shiny armor, showing that he is in fact ready to go to battle with the Israelites. It looked slightly Minecraft inspired. It looked a little bit like bluish silver, like that Minecraft diamond armor, a little bit blocky. But I thought it was pretty cool looking. So Shout out to our costume department again for coming up with a really interesting new look for God's battle armor.
I agree. It looked really cool. And also, I felt glad the costume department had something to do, frankly, this episode, because yeah. it was mostly otherwise just having people just sort of sat around listening to Moses. So I was glad that they got to do something fun.
Yeah, this was the big one. They put in a couple of other little colorful touches on people's costumes, but
right.
otherwise we've been basically in the same color palette for months, it feels like.
Yes.
40 years,
right,
to be exact. Well, that makes me excited for heading into the next episode. This one was a weird one in that we basically just had Moses retelling the entirety of season 4 and maybe adding a couple of drunken flourishes. But now we've got God fully armored up and ready to go. And I'm ready to go to Canaan with him. This has been teased for so long. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to go conquer Canaan first? Or do you think he's going to kill Moses first? Where do you think we're going at the beginning of episode 2? Because now he's got quite a lot on his dance card.
Yeah, well, before he was volunteered for the fact, I might have said that Moses was going to go. But maybe God at this point is like, all right, well, if I'm going to be in the fight, so are you for the moment.
Oh.
So I thought he's going to sort of, you know, this could be like 3D chess by Moses, where he's like, okay, I will volunteer God. And God is going to want me to then for volunteer, which means I'll have to be around a little longer. So yes. It could have been a whole thought process.
Yeah, that's great. God's going to want to keep Moses close. He's not going to want to go to Canaan and give Moses a chance to take it on the run. And
right.
Not go up that mountain like he's supposed to. So I think either way, we've got some more battle sequences in our future. And
yes,
I'm looking forward to that. But before we get to those next episodes, I've got to ask you, Marcus, what do we think about this God character?
I am not the God of war. I am the God of truth.
God likes to watch. He's a prankster.
Blasphemy. You're lucky I don't cast you out or smite you or something.
You've been doing a lot of complaining about me. Quite frankly, I'm tired of it.
How shall we fuck off, O Lord?
Well, we didn't hear much from God this episode, so not too much has changed. I did like the fact that he was brought into the fight. The Israelites themselves must have been freaking ecstatic at hearing this.
Yeah.
Because that's a big ace up your sleeve if you're bringing God in with you. That's got to buoy their spirits. And honestly, I don't know why God didn't, if this was an option, I don't know why God didn't offer it previously when they were all unsure if they could defeat the Canaanites. Although that said, I wonder, we didn't hear exactly in what circumstances he would be there. True. Knowing God, he's not going to be on the front line kicking ass, right?
Right.
At best, he's going to pull a Gandalf and is going to like ride up and bring a bunch of people with him, and then they'll join the battle.
Right.
Late is the hour for God, right. I suspect.
He's going to be in the back being very encouraging. Like, no, you're doing a wonderful job. No, keep at it. Go on. You're all fine. I'll just be over here.
Exactly. Some very aggressive, motivational speeches will be given from God. All right.
Yes.
So overall, not much has changed, but I'm a little bit optimistic, a bit more positive, given that he might be involved. How about you?
Yeah, I think I feel about the same. I also want to shout out that the beer koozie hat is back. That comes out for all ceremonial occasions. It looked like it got a little bit of a sleeker redesign. I think they tweaked the orange color. I liked the way that that looked. And a lot of the time he had this weird look on his face that I couldn't quite read. I don't know if he feels bad that he now has to kill Moses, or he's just gritting his teeth to get through this retirement speech so that he can finally kill Moses. It looked a little bit like when the Terminator is trying to smile. He like just does not know how to arrange his facial muscles properly. It was also a little bit tasteless that he kept trying to give out business cards and get people interested in his pyramid scheme for selling olive oil and three humped camels. Like, not the time, man. Yeah. Like, read the room. This is not about you. We keep saying this every time there's a wedding or a funeral or something involving somebody else. God just got to make it all about him. And he just can't deal if someone else is in the spotlight.
Yeah, no, you're right. He's always been about him. And even when Moses sort of volunteered him to fight, he looked a little bit surprised. But then he was kind of owned it a bit and was like, oh, yeah, no worries. I got it.
A blessing from the Lord.
Before Deanna and Marcus wrap up this episode, I am here to tell you that my 11th commandment is, you shall not enjoy this podcast without rating and reviewing it.
Good idea, O Lord.
Help others to find this podcast by rating and reviewing it on your podcast app. Now let's return to the action.
God be praised.
Me be praised. God out.
That leads me to now ask you, Deanna, what was the weirdest name from this episode?
I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Say my name.
Bicus. Dicus.
You're goddamn right.
I have a very great friend in Rome called Bicus Dicus.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Wait, no, seriously, what's your actual name?
Wait, your Bicus Dicus hears of this.
This episode, I'm going with a place name, and it is Valley of the Zered. I don't even know if that's the weirdest place name, but it is the coolest place name. I can absolutely see a new sci-fi series that takes place in the Valley of the Zered, and there are some super cool, maybe translucent aliens that live there, and they have telekinesis or some other powers, and then humans wander in, like, oh, I've got it all planned out. Valley of the Zered. What do you think?
Cool. Very nice. I like it. And actually, you say that it's sci-fi themed, and that is related to mine, as it happens, my weirdest name, which is Anakim, because when it actually came up on the captions, looking at it, you could see it was not just Anakim, but it was actually Anakim Skyrunner. And I thought that was a little nod. So I like that.
Definitely there's been fans of various other franchises there in the writer's room and in the design department, and they're just sneaking their stuff in. And there we are. That will wrap it for the first episode of season 5, Deuteronomy. Or what are we calling it now? Season 5, Study of the Dudes.
Study of the Dudes. Exactly. The beginning of Study of the Dudes has happened. A little bit of a look back, but maybe they're catching people up so that we can move forward. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing where Study of the Dudes takes us next. And so with that, I will say to dear listener and to you, Deanna, pod be with you.
Pod be with you, Marcus.
Amen.
Amen.
To continue the conversation, follow us on social media at Wrath of Pod. To get in touch, email us at mail@wrathofpod.com. Pod be with you.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing where Study of the Dudes takes us next. That would be a pretty good major, I would imagine. Study of the Dudes. A lot of different options. No doubt drugs and behavior is going to be one of the courses you can take. A whole bunch of things if you study the dudes.
I think that's just called history.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, the way it's written these days. Yeah. Study of dudes, particularly white.
Sure. But not all dudes are dudes.
Right, that's true. Study of, like, the really, like, doodly dudes.
Right.
That's not a thing. All of this is getting cut.
Yeah, okay. That's okay.
All views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and are presented for entertainment and commentary purposes only. Any third-party music, clips, or other media are included solely for the purpose of critique, commentary, review, or transformative use, all of which fall within fair use. We make no claim of ownership over included third-party material, which remains the property of its respective owners. This podcast is not affiliated with, endorsed by, or sponsored by any of the creators, owners, or distributors of included media.